One of the things you say about your experience at Starbucks is that you came at a point when the company was about to take off in some really exciting ways. I mean, so what a fun time for you to be with them. But also the fact that at the top of the company was an array of leaders who were different from each other, but who brought each their own sort of set of gifts and perspectives and personality, and it all meshed in just an amazing way. Talk for just a moment about that.
Well, you know, it's this word trust, you know, it's we throw it around a lot, but what happened was is that there were three of us, Howard Schultz, Oren Smith, and myself, who developed such a strong relationship built on trust that even though we had our own egos, we all knew that we were in this together and that we could trust each other to do the right thing. And we were totally aligned in terms of the values of the organization. And right from the beginning, we knew that this was going to be a people business. Not that all businesses aren't people businesses, they are, but we were aligned. And so that meant the things that we put into action, such as health care for everybody, no matter whether you're a part-time worker or whether you were, you know, the president of the company, we all got the same health care. Never paying minimum wage. Treating people with respect and dignity, and that came out in the way that we listened to people. You know, it made it very easy for the three of us to lead the company because we never had to look behind our back to see what was going on.
Hmm. When you evoke the word action, it reminds me of one of my favorite moments in the introduction when you say, "I know from firsthand experience that there's a large gap between the wisdom of knowing what's right and the wisdom to do what's right."
Right.
And, of course, somebody could read this book and agree with everything you've written here and yet not quite manage to put it into action. Or someone might believe in sort of the theoretical way that, oh, yes, I want all of my employees to be healthy and to have access to good health care. And yet that is not the same. Believing that or knowing that to be a good idea is not the same as making it happen. And, of course, that's such an exciting facet of this story, is that so many of these words of wisdom were in fact made real.
Well, because you know, talk is cheap, and you know, the things that we believed in, we had to put into action. And you know, we couldn't do everything, but the things that we believed in, we wanted to put into action, and we held ourselves accountable. And we set up a system with inside the organization so that the people would hold it, the leadership accountable. And, you know, it makes it's difficult to do. None of this is easy, okay? That would be, you know, foolish to think that it was easy. It's not easy. It's not easy today. But being committed to it, doing what you say you're going to do, you know, how else to build an organization?
Hmm. I want to ask you about one other thing in the introduction, which is a great little choice of words on your part. You evoke this image as you are introducing to us your 10 basic principles of good personal leadership. Ahead of that, you said that you came to these principles over the years, and part of their inspiration came from something called the Green Apron book at Starbucks. But you said, among other things, these principles have withstood the test kitchen of my leadership at Starbucks. Tell our listeners what that image means to you, or what exactly you mean by that.
Well, you know, we all have opinions about things. And at the end of the day, the only thing that really matters is how do they hold up when you're working or dealing with other people? Do they resonate with people? Do they make a difference? Because what I believe may be important to me, but it's not necessarily important to you. And so the test kitchen is the kitchen of the people of Starbucks. So, you know, lots of things changed over time, but the values that has held Starbucks together over the past 19 years that I've been there still hold it together today. And it starts with treating people with respect and dignity. And so that little test kitchen, what I basically believe is that you know, that you do these things not because you're going to be or you think they'll make you successful. You do these things because these are the things that you believe in, success or failure. It shouldn't make a difference. Hmm. But when it comes to dealing with people and treating people well, those are the things that are in the eyes of the beholder, and that's the people of Starbucks.
We're talking with Howard Behar, former president of Starbucks International, and his book is called It's Not About the Coffee, Leadership Principles from a Life at Starbucks. You start in an interesting place with this principle, know who you are. And the way you really talk about it extensively in the chapter is this way, the idea of wearing one hat, of really seeking out that one thing which maybe means the most to you or that you are sort of meant to do, the hat that fits you well. And I guess part of the point of that image is wearing a hat that you can always wear. I mean, that you don't have to sort of take off, whether you're in a professional situation or a personal situation or whatever. I guess it's finding something that is you no matter where you are or what you're doing.
That's correct. I mean, it's the most difficult thing to do in life, to take the time to think about yourself and to think about what matters to you. What are your values? What do you care about? Who are you as a spiritual person? What are your material goals? All the things that go into making up the you, the whole you. And when you think about those things, you start to form a picture of yourself as a human being. And then one of the goals in life is to match yourself up with organizations or with other people that share those common goals so that you can wear that hat all day long. I kind of make a joke about it, but I say in the morning, if you get up in the morning and you look across the bed and you look at your significant other and you have to put on your significant other hat, you're probably living with the wrong person.
That hat should just be there already.
It should just be
snugly
there.
In place. You tell a story about your own career paths and the fact that for a while you were in the business of selling furniture, and you realized at one point that as much as you enjoyed that, you really didn't have any passion whatsoever when it came to furniture itself. You didn't love that. What you loved was helping people find exactly the right furniture, and there was something about that that was really, in fact, the hat that you should be wearing.
Exactly. One person asked me that question. It's, you know, if we get lucky in life and if we're listening to others, and, you know, usually it's not what people tell us. It's usually what people ask us that really helps us to make the big strides. And this one person that I reported to asked me the question, what do you really love, Howard? Is it people or is it furniture? And, boy, I'll tell you, it could have knocked me over. I was thinking, God, I hadn't thought about that. But it became so obvious so quickly. It wasn't furniture that I loved. It was people. And then I wanted to be a student of people. First a student of myself, and then a student of others.
Which reminds me of another nice moment in the introduction when you say something about how there are always people to teach us things. And
absolutely,
what a great lesson as we live our lives, that to remind ourselves that we still have a lot to learn, and that the people around us, even people that might not be as smart as we are, might really have important things to teach us.
Usually, it comes from the people that we don't always think are as smart as we are, but they usually are smarter. And it's a lifelong journey.
Sure, and there are a lot of ways to be smart.
Hopefully, it'll never end.
Yeah. In the second chapter where you suggest that it's important that we know why we are here, one of the nuts and bolts examples you give of sort of sorting that out at Starbucks was when you helped create something that became the start of every single meeting at Starbucks. Every meeting would start with a coffee tasting.
Right.
Tell us why that was valuable.
Because that kept us grounded in what I like to call our art or our music. So without people, there, you know, there's coffee, it doesn't get planted, it doesn't get harvested, it doesn't get roasted, it doesn't get brewed. And we always have to be respectful of that art that we create, and it was important to us. And so we started with a coffee tasting because it reminded us of what we were about.
You also...
We also
go ahead.
We also would read customer letters, letters that were coming in from people that we served.
Or you'd read them out loud, you mean, in these meetings?
Yeah, we'd read them out loud. Some of them hurt, you know, where we had failed. Some of them made us laugh. Some of them made us cry. But it was both. It was the people and the coffee.
You pose a very interesting question, in some ways almost kind of a shattering question in this chapter. And it's, again, to help people sort of sort out that question of why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? You heard someone pose this question. Here's another good question. If there was no praise or criticism in the world, then who would you be? And you say, this is such a powerful concept, it became one of the first quotes I framed and hung on my wall. I learned that when you discover the answer to that question, you've discovered your greater purpose and the path you need to take.
Right. Well, it's, you know, it's we listen to others, but it's important that we listen to ourselves, too. And we can get so caught up in what other people think about us that we begin to modulate or moderate our behavior because of it. Now, sometimes that's helpful, but you really need to know yourself. And you have, you know, what's that old, I forget who said it, to thine own self be true. And that's the fact. And so often we see, particularly in today's world, in the political arena or in business, that doesn't really make any difference, that there are so many people that have opinions about everything, and maybe even about us as individuals, is that it's so critical to know yourself so that you can look at that input and decide whether or not it's something that you can accept or not.